one thing I love listening to you is I don't hear spin out of you. It's, especially when I do, when I hear 990. There's times on 990 you hear nothing but spin.
Hey, Titans Bell, he split my sausage today in the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I'm going to say this.
Titans Bell, are the Titans tomorrow, if they lose or on Monday night to that stupid Colts team, what will your sausage be?
My sausage will really be burnt. Well, right now I'm 0 for 2. Last night, Gibbs lost to Halls by 1.
So your sausage is right now...
My sausage is right now burning, and of course today...
Bubbling.
Bubbling. Your sausage is bubbling, Eric just said. He's an expert, apparently, on sausages.
So... I'd have to say, Tony, if my Titans lose to Beano's Colts, who I do despise, I know there's a lot of people here that are Patriot haters, but I'm more of a Colt hater than a Patriot hater.
I despise Beano too. Titans Bill, I really appreciate your phone call. You've been awesome. Is there anything else you'd care to add on the way out?
Nobody.
Now, you're really going to go out on a limb and say that Alabama's tearing down Tennessee's kingdom.
That's what I said, my good Christian friend. It'll be 55-10.
Titans, Bill, I hope we get 10, Al.
Well, that'll be the first time we've gotten 10 in however many weeks.
Unless you can get
and look,
maybe
one more
two
thing,
safeties
Tony,
and two
and
field
then
goals.
Then I'll get off. If a lot of you people think you're going to get Gruden over here, you're just living a fantasy island without Ricardo Montalban.
Titans Bill, man, you are breaking it down scientifically.
Exactly. And without that little guy that says, deplane.
Thank you.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Titans Bill.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's the prognosis for Mariota tomorrow? Is he supposed to play, or is he still sitting out?
You know, he's day-to-day from what I understand, but I doubt if he's going to play. They'll probably put in that stiff Castle.
Do you know what they'll be saying if they put Castle in that game Monday night about you, Titans Bill? Hey, boss, the sausage. Titans Bill, you're out of here. Too much sausage talk out of you. JC, Jerry Colquitt, your thoughts on Titans Bill's phone call?
Titans Bill is salty, man. I was talking to a friend earlier. You know, I feel I'm right there with Titans Bill because I feel like I'm a man without a team. You know, my doggone Seahawks are trying to, you know, catch up after their bad start. You know, the balls are, you know, breaking my heart every Saturday. You know, my B team, the Titans, you know, it's like, where's Eddie George? Where's Steve McNair? Well, where are, like, it's just such a disappointment. You know, I moved up here when the Titans were really good. So I missed all the fun, you know, the Super Bowl years and the AFC Championship years. And, man, the minute I start, you know, becoming a bandwagon fan, like, they have gone downhill ever since. And, man, it's tough. It's tough right now being a Tennessee football fan, be it the Balls or the Titans.
865-200-5402. We're going to get – and Titans Bill, thank you for that phone call. That was really terrific. Let's get our next call in here on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. We are in what we call bonus time right now. I'm past the three-hour mark, what we're contractually obligated for. And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. I better start seeing some activity in the tip jar over at TonyBasilio.com or we're cutting this thing short. It's that simple. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello to our caller. That's you. this one more time.
Sorry about that.
That is you. Go right ahead.
My bad. I was muted. It's Gray Italia. What's happening?
Hey, Gray Italia. What's up, my man?
You look to the yo. Hey, man. Want to compliment you. You know, been listening to you for about 23 years, and I think this is my 23rd season. And your show has grown exponentially and gotten so many more dimensions to it, but you still keep that initial energy that you had back in the mid-90s, man.
Dude, I know that you're like an artiste, a great musician in your own right, and that really means a lot coming from me, coming from you, rather, toward me. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, sir. You know, one thing that Jerry Colquitt said, he talked about how he sees Shoop as being more aggressive. I mean, it's taken him two seasons. Wasn't that what we were promised from day one, was that this guy was going to be aggressive? He's been anything but that.
Jerry, how do you respond to him?
He may be correct, but I tell you what, Tony, you and I talked from everything that I heard, what we saw, that Georgia Tech game was not the defensive coordinator. That was not his doing. That was somebody else's doing, and I almost feel like the defensive coordinator made a point to say, okay, if this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. And we saw that for two games. And finally, when he saw just a total change in our alignment, they've looked like a totally different defensive football team since the first snap of the Florida Gators game.
Hey, Gray Italia, I think Jerry's right. I mean, to jump in here, I think that what Jerry's telling you is correct in that Butch Jones was hell-bent on them getting their linemen off the line of scrimmage. To the point where, and Bob Shoop is an obnoxious guy, okay? He just is. He's an obnoxious know-it-all type. That's why you get that vibe from him too in interviews. Like, I'm always right. He doesn't like being told what to do. And he said, okay, Butchie boy, you want to see it? And he put those guys 3 yards off the football. That's what that stemmed from. That was kind of a peeing contest between those two guys. I'm here to tell you, I think Jerry's right. What he just said, I agree with that. So go ahead, Gray Italia.
Well, the problem is just last year and this year alone, I think our defense has given up over 600 or 700 yards, what, 3, 4, 5 times? I mean, we're setting these unbelievable records for amounts of offense that we're giving to these other teams that are mediocre at best on offense, and they're getting 600 and 700 total yards against us.
Yeah, but today Tennessee actually played pretty well. Eric, what's the number from today? Or Alex, what's the number from today?
South Carolina only had 323 yards of total offense today.
323 there, Gray Italia. We held them down, man.
Of course, not exactly Oregon. You know.
Well, they're missing three offensive linemen, their best wide receiver, and their starting running back who went out after the first play of the game. I would have to agree with that as LSU takes a 24-23 lead on Auburn. 2:36 left. Champion of life belt perhaps in the balance in that one, Gray Italia.
I don't claim to speak for all Tennessee fans, but I want to speak for the fans that are frustrated with about the past 20 years.
Right.
It seems like we've been in this perpetual drought, and a lot of it stems from just the coaches and the things that they tell the fan base just insulting our intelligence. I'm thinking back to stuff like Jamal Lewis doesn't know the blocking scheme. If there's a personnel change to be made, we don't make it. If there's a coaching change to be made, we take 5 to 10 to 20 games too long to make it. It's the scheme. It's the leadership reps. You know, we're just fed so much BS from the top down. And then the results on the field also, I mean, since 1998, no SEC championships. Really, the drought began in December of 2001. We had just beaten Florida, one of the most incredible college games you'll ever see, the 34-32 game. Clawson goes to the swamp and gets it done. And then we promptly lose to Matt Mock and Nick Saban, and we have never been the same since.
There's no question about it. And how we've gotten to this point, with the boobs that we have assembled, first Derek Dooley and now this guy. I mean, this guy here has just been, what can you say about his stretch drive here? Two games under 500 since last year's A&M game. about to go to 3 under .500 after next week's Alabama game. We'll have a tough trip coming up. You like Tennessee up there, Eric? Do you like Tennessee up there in Kentucky? Think we're winning that game right now?
I think we have a chance to win it, but if you were asking me to pick, I would take Kentucky.
How about you, Al?
Right now, if I'm choosing right now, gun to my head, I'd probably have to go with Kentucky as
That's
well.
That's embarrassing. Jerry Cole quit?
We win that game.
Say,
I hope so.
Former players do not, will not and do not. It does not compute laying down to Kentucky. But Gray Italia, the point is there's still a lot of this season left in front of us. The problem is we don't have an administration that cares enough to get rid of this guy. And that's too bad for this fan base because we've been through enough. We've seen enough of this guy. We've been through enough.
Well, not only that, the players, I mean, he seems to be losing not only the current team but the potential future team when you have recruits that are saying, yeah, I'm going to open up my recruitment again. Tony, I actually expect the players to play pretty hard at Alabama.
Yep.
You know, it's a big stage for them. It's a chance to show that they got something.
Yep.
But in the games that don't matter, which today, I mean, it's just a throwaway game. Like the rest of these games are just throwaway games. I think we have a chance to lose every one of them.
Could not agree with you more. Every game left, including Southern Miss, will be a football game because when you're as bad as we are on offense, and this team's going to stay bad offensively with whoever's out there at quarterback. It doesn't matter because this offense, this is a bad offensive football team. Point well taken.
Absolutely. And a lot of this, the frustration comes from, as the caller had mentioned earlier in his call, the nonsense.
Yep.
I mean, I'll give you an example. We haven't talked much about what happened post-game. But during the post-game, there's a conversation about, Butch is talking about, you know, did you see adjustments from South Carolina? And he kind of passed off to, you know, I can talk to you more about it on Monday, that the changes that, you know, that they made once I look at the tape. And someone asked one of the offensive linemen, Kendrick, what, you know, did they do something different in the second half that changed things? And he said, yeah, they switched into a bare defense on us. And it made it harder for us to do some of the things that we were doing in the first half. And the thing is, that would have been the easy answer.
No, this guy's not going to do that.
But it was so contradictory to have his – and I'm not saying this to get him in trouble because, you know, he said it in front of all the press. But it's the direct opposite of what his head coach had just babbled. And
this guy,
it's the nonsense.
This guy's nuts. And great how you finish us up.
Well, guys, I think you said it best, Tony. We have an administration, and it's not the same guys necessarily that were there 20 years ago, but we just seem to have this in our DNA that we don't really care about winning at all. We don't care about taking it to the next level. We're going to be happy if we get 6, 7, 8 wins. There's going to be a part of the fan base that's not going to like that, but we'll just treat them as marginalized, and we'll pit them against each other, whatever. I mean, it's just so frustrating that I don't think – our administration truly wants to win championships, and the last 20 years are the biggest evidence of that.
I could not agree with you more, but and thank you, Gray Italia. Thank you for the kind words.
Hugs, man. See you.
Hugs and kisses to you. Jerry, you know what bothers me, though? You went to a college football game a couple weeks ago. You went to see T. Martin, and we had a conversation last night, in fact, once I got back from Philadelphia. You saw Washington State upset T. Martin's USC team, and it killed you to see your friend get beat. But it's college football. You were there in a great environment. It was a Friday night game. It was an awesome – there was a lot of pageantry. Last night, Syracuse beat the hell out of Clemson. Now, it didn't show that on the scoreboard, but Clemson had a defensive touchdown. Syracuse beat them up. Syracuse did what Tennessee football used to do, which is rise to the occasion and upset people, even in lean years. We haven't had that under Butch Jones. We haven't had that one, like, for instance, winning next week's game. That's what Tennessee football used to do. That's what, even in the lean years, LSU's doing that right now. LSU is not supposed to be much. They lost a couple weeks ago. We sat right here in the Raymair studio and watched it happen, and now they've reeled off a win over Florida, and they're going to reel off a win over Auburn. Why? Because it's called That's College Football. Boston College beat Boston College today beat Louisville, a game they were not supposed to win, and they did went out there and won that game. Why? Because it's college football.
And I agree, that's a good point. But I would have a question to Jerry Colquitt, who watches conference after conference after conference all throughout the world of college football across the nation. Jerry, you know, everybody's talked about how, including me, how the ACC is so much improved. They're so much better than they were. Do you put this weekend's events where Boston College, obviously, with the win, Syracuse with the win over Clemson, do you chalk that up to college upsets? Do you chalk it up to the ACC top to bottom is getting better? Or do you think it's a situation where the top-tier ACC teams may not be quite as good as we thought? I think it could be either one of those.
Well, in Clemson's case, I don't think that – I mean, don't you have to call that an upset? I mean, you know, when you lose the overall number one player to the NFL in a draft, and then also the top – wide receivers to the draft, it's going to take a toll on that team, even if that team is returning a lot of talent. I mean, you know, the experience, those clutch situations where guys have plenty of snaps under the belt, those things they tend to take time, although, you know, they may be returning a lot of talent. I mean, you can't, you know, it's kind of like last year for us with Derek Barnett. You can't take a guy who has double-digit sacks at the collegiate level, then replace him with a quality defensive end in Darryl Taylor and go, okay, everything is going to be the same that following year. No, it's not. That guy just had double-digit sacks. He broke Reggie White's record. So I think what you're seeing is some of these teams who, you know, they've hit a pinnacle in terms of, you know, their talent level. Clemson last year, that was the most talent they've had in a really, really long time, probably since going back to the early 80s, I think, when they played Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl there. So for Dabo's team, it's not surprising to me that, you know, you might drop one. Now, I expect them to finish strong, but, I mean, you just can't lose guys who are at the top of that NFL draft and then not expect for things to happen. But, I mean, overall, I think it does bid well for maybe that second layer of teams who can come in and get an upset over the top-tier teams of that conference.
Why can't we do that, Jerry? Jerry, what's kept the Butch Jones era from having that win over Oklahoma, from having something? You know, that signature. Last year we did it with a terrible Florida team. That ended up winning the division, by the way, but they weren't very good. I'm talking about just that moment where you know that college football is back and is being played by your favorite team. Because Gray is right. You feel right now like you're in team purgatory when you're a Tennessee fan. You feel like you're in fan purgatory.
Tony, I think in this conference, I think that talent can only get you so far. And here's the thing about University of Tennessee. It's such an attraction. It's an historic program from a sports standpoint. It gets on my nerves sometimes how everybody dwells on recruiting. I mean, Tennessee has never had a problem recruiting, even since when I was a young kid watching the Vols in the early 80s. So to me, that shouldn't be the standard. You know what I mean? So to me, it's more about, okay, are you coaching competent football? Is your team competitive? Are you making a trip to the Southeastern Conference about every 3 or 4 years? And really, Tony, if you aren't doing that, just recruiting, they've been recruiting for 30 years now. It's not anything new. So when people talk about Butch Jones' recruiting classes, so what? Like, that's been happening for a long time. So to me, it's about the product on the field. Can you steal a win from Georgia every other year? Can you at least win that home game against Florida like we used to? My first year, 45-3 against Florida at home. We went down there, we got beat. But guess what? When they came back, 35-7 at home. We beat their behind in Knoxville. So you got to get to that point where you're at least trading those wins and losses with the best teams who at the top of the SEC East. So right now, it's just not happening.
You know, a guy said that Dooley didn't exactly win the living room. I'm going to agree with that. I think Dooley had better talent on his last team, or comparable talent, than this guy does. Especially offensively.
Offensively, no doubt. And, Jerry, you remember the offensive line that Dooley had. I mean, he didn't have any depth behind it. But the starting five on the offensive line that Dooley had, along with Tyler Bray, who's somehow he's still on an NFL roster.
Yeah. Justin Hunter was a very good player.
Patterson.
Cordero Patterson was a very good player.
The Rivera, who played for the Raiders for a while.
Mike Rivera, who's still there.
I was just going to say, the Vikings love.
Starting
for your – I'm telling you. Let's go to the phones. I mean,
Jim Chaney was a problem for that team, Tony.
Who was?
The OC. They were too finesse.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the minute they went to Bray, they got too finesse. But instead, if they played that game, who was it? Tyrone Poole?
Yes.
If they would have played the game through the offensive line, through the running back, it would just open everything else up for
Jerry,
for everyone else. But they got pass happy. Go ahead.
Linnea on Periscope, who's very lovely, by the way, said that you need some more brain force.
That's interesting.
Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. I don't know what that means. I think your brain's functioning quite well right now. 865-200-5402. Tiny was a very good offensive lineman. So let's get our next call in and... our next caller, hello and welcome in.
Tony?
Yes, welcome in. Go right ahead. You're on the Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Great. Sheep here.
Hey, good to talk to you. What is it now? What's your name?
Sheep.
Oh, Sheep. Great to talk to you, Sheep.
You too. Miss you, man.
Thank you, Sheep. I miss you. I hope to get back to the pen at some point.
Yeah. In honor of Titans Bill, I just want to say smiles, everyone.
Titans Bill. Thank you. How's your sausage doing?
My sausage is burnt.
Yeah.
It's split open.
My sausage, like, I'm going to try to picture this, okay? But it looked like a piece of lumber the way it came apart when they burned it today in the fourth quarter. It's like a piece of crystal or something when you put it on in a high heat and it starts to splinter. My sausage has splintered. I will never be able to touch my sausage again the same way, in fact, after what Butch Jones has done to it.
Did you see ESPN interview Phil Fulmer?
I did see Philip Fulmer's – how do I put this? I did see his interim coach interview on ESPN. Yes, I did see that.
Did you hear the shot that Tommy Tuberville threw at him?
And what was that?
After they interviewed Fulmer, they went back to Tuberville, and he said, "You can see Coach Fulmer's been working the banquet circuit. He's really working that."
I'm telling you,
Tommy's awesome.
Tubbs is damn good on that. Doing that game. He was so honest.
I wish he started doing that about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, he was so good. Eric's a Cincinnati fan. Yeah.
And LSU just beat Auburn.
They sure did. That's a great win for them, man. Great win
for
them. Hooday, baby.
Thank you, Tony.
Good talking to you. Actually, theirs is who dat. The Bengals is who day.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to get that in there. 865-200-5402. Jerry, what did you think of Jared Garantano, his first start today? And did that affect the outcome of the football game? Because as I asked my other panelists earlier, is the game different if Garantano, if Dormady plays and not Garantano? What do you think, Jerry?
It's hard to say. To me, the big thing with them, Tony, is are they putting guys in – position to be successful. I thought early on they actually did that. Anything they threw out of the passing game, Tony, it was simple. It was designed to get the ball out of his hands. There were no goofy formations like you and I talked about, which we did the very first play of
the game, which happened in Georgia, where you get the interception, the first third down play of the UMass game. We ran almost the exact same formation, tried to throw a quick game out of it, and we were unsuccessful there. So I thought early on it looked like they took the mindset, hey, we're not going to do anything goofy, oddball. We're just going to let him drop back, get the ball out of his hands. And you saw it was a nice couple of completions to get him going. But then after that, once again, it's almost like play calling fatigue set in for Larry Scott. And I thought Garantano looked slow to read plays from the pocket. Tony, when you're in that pocket, it's read it. Read it, check down, read it, run it, read it, check down, read it, run it, read it, primary. You know what I mean? It's a rhythm thing, and it's got to be quick. And I thought he seemed just he seemed late today in the pocket. And I'm not going to fault him because it's not even his fault. It's a repetitions thing. He's just not been on campus long enough for him to just, do that with just flawlessness, like we'd, expect him to. So, I'd like to see that, you know, any of those things that are working, well early in the game, just keep going back to it. Like, he struggled from the pocket. Why are those passes now coming from the pocket? Get them out of the pocket. You know, move them. Isolate guys out in the secondary. And so for me, again, it's about, you know, if you're going to stick that guy in there, you better put him in a position where he is successful. I thought today, you saw that the first series, but after that, it was kind of gone again. We get down in the red zone inside the 10. What are we doing?
Stupid.
Man, hand the ball to John Kelly every single time.
Absolutely stupid. That red zone offense that they have, let's go back to our phones. It's stupid. It's always been stupid. And I guess until CBJ evacuates the premises, it's always going to be stupid. Let's get our next call in. 865-200. We got former Vol quarterback Jerry Colquitt joining us, who breaks down film for us over at TonyBasilio.com and does a great job. And we're going to get in the mix and in the hunt with our next caller. I want to hear from you at 865-200-5402 as we're now in bonus time. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony. It's Big Josh, man. How's it going?
Hey, Big Josh. Great to hear your voice.
Hey, first off, I just want to make a comment. It's year five of Jones, and I know he's gone, but I still do not even know what his finished product is supposed to look like. He spent 5 years and I don't know what he really wants at the end of the day out of his offense.
And you know what I got to say to that, Josh? You know what I got to say to that? Thank God we're never going to find out.
Yeah. But, I want to throw a name out here for this coaching search, which is coming. And, everybody shoots me down, but I'm going to keep saying it. And, that's James Franklin. This guy is in a division with Harbaugh, D'Antonio, and Urban Meyer in the same division. That's not a recipe for long-term success.
I am applauding. That's the first call I make. It's to that little weasel. And here's why.
Absolutely.
He's the guy that this fan base hates right now, but the minute he comes on to your campus, this fan base would love that trash talking fool. And I'll tell you what Johnny Majors told me about him, because I told Johnny we were doing In the Pocket a couple weeks back. It was the couple days after James Franklin talked trash on Pitt after they beat him. And Johnny Majors said, I'm going to tell you something about that guy. He said he knows the game inside and out. He said, I had him at one of my conferences for coaches. Johnny does some of that now and books, and nobody says no to Johnny Majors. And James Franklin came and did a talk for Johnny, and Johnny said, I sat in on it. He said, James Franklin is really impressive, and he does a great job with his team. And I echo that. I think that James Franklin has from, taken. He's taken. He's
resurrected. From Philly. He's from outside of Philly, on the Jersey side of Philly. He did not go to Penn State.
No, he didn't.
His
buyout.
He's got a history in the state of Tennessee at Vanderbilt. He knows the state.
His buyout's very small as well.
It's $2 million.
It's nothing.
Plus, you can win 10, 11 games here a lot easier than you can at Penn State, I think, right now with the shape the East is in.
I agree.
And that means bigger checks for a longer period of time.
I agree.
The guy will recruit at a level that we have not seen here. I don't care what anybody says. You can get better players at University of Tennessee than you can get at the University of Penn State. It comes down to is our leadership serious about winning football games?
Yep.
Because if you want to go out and hire up-and-comers, you're going to get more of what you've been getting. If you want to play big-boy football, go hire a big-time coach that wants some big-time games. Because you've about got all you're going to get out of this fan base. We've suffered through 20 years of mediocrity.
Yeah, it's true.
And it is unacceptable. And that's all I got, Tony. Take care, bud.
Thank you, Josh. Love your passion. Love your voice. Jerry Colquitt, the concept of James Franklin, who's been very successful in a short amount of time at a place that had a death penalty in Penn State, basically a death penalty on the heels of Sandusky. Your thoughts on the concept of him in Knoxville, where he was very successful at Vanderbilt?
Tony, I really like guys who elevate, you know, the status and the reputation of their teams. And you could just see, even when he was at Vanderbilt, not necessarily in the win totals, but Vanderbilt's team, when James Franklin was there, they were not afraid to play anybody. And the minute that he got to Penn State, they were not afraid to play anybody in the Big Ten as well. So, and now he's got the wins to back that up. So, when you talk about guys like him, even just the attitude and just that swagger that that Lane Kiffin brought, I think especially college kids really will follow the swag and the attitude of their head coach. And he's one of those guys where you know his teams are going to follow his lead. So,
and I'll say one thing for Josh, because I've seen this guy, okay? Penn State does not like James Franklin because they fashion themselves as a blue blood. They fashion themselves as an academic institution and all that nonsense. I'm going to tell you something. Tennessee fans, Jerry, would go crazy. This guy could heal a lot of sausages around this area, a hiring of that guy. Do you believe me, Jerry? That's some salve on your sausage.
No question. And a guy like him, Tony, he's easy a 10-year coach. Easy.
He's a 10-year coach. That's exactly right.
He's a 10-year coach, Tony, and you're winning your games against Georgia and Florida at home.
I'm gonna go around the rim. I'm gonna go around the rim, and let me ask Al. He said James Franklin here is a 10-year coach, and I agree with that. Alex, your thoughts about James Franklin in Knoxville? Should the Vols call him?
Absolutely, I'd call him. I don't think he would come. Given the situation he's in right now and the team up there having a lot of success, I don't think he'd come. But as Bino said earlier about a couple of guys, if you don't call them, you know, what's the shame getting turned down? If you call them and they can get them, I'd rather shoot for the stars and reach the moon than shoot for the clouds and wind up in the middle of a tree somewhere. You know, I would make that call.
Are you calling him, Eric Waddell?
Sure, absolutely.
He's my first call. I agree with Josh. That's my first call.
And, you know,
I would take him over John Gruden right now, that guy. Because you know why? Because I know that he's a proven football coach who is proven on this level, who's recruited kids, who's rebuilt two programs, who wanted a place at Vanderbilt where nobody ever won. And look, Vandy under this guy today, they went down there and got skunked by Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And look, they're a nice little program under the dude with the flap jacket. But they're not what they were under Franklin. Franklin had Vanderbilt hosting game day, for crying out loud. Things were happening there that never happened there because the guy elevates the deal.
I'd call him, and I'd have the two-fold conversation. I'd say, are you interested? If not, who would you hire? I don't think there's any loss in making a call to a quality guy like that regardless because, again, even if you don't get him, I would be trying to figure out who would you get, who makes life difficult for you. I mean, those are logical questions anytime you're looking for a coach.
What, some guy just said, I'm out. This Vandy talk's making me sick. Hey.
It's not Vandy talk.
Hey,
it's Coach Franklin talk.
Hey, Vandy talk.
Yeah.
You out of your damn mind, dude? Where do you think this program is? Are you out of your damn mind? Where do you think we've been? Have you had enough, sir? This Franklin talk's making me sick. The concept of winning's making you sick? Let me get the next call in here. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Tom from Houston.
Hey, Tom in Houston. And, welcome in, brother.
And I want to say something. First chance I've ever had to talk to Jerry. And, Jerry, man, I remember that game. And you never know what life's going to deal you. But that probably was – I know how it hurt you as a player and everything to be ready to assume the helm. And I know you'd have done a hell of a job. I want you to know that. But, guys, we're in a shape right now, and Tony will tell you, damn it, I defended Butch because I'm kind of a loyal guy, and I want to give him every benefit of the doubt. But now that it's not going to be, and we all know it, we gotta. Who's the point person? Who's the Mal Moore that's gonna go find this person? And even if they say no the first time, you go back to them and say, "No, you're not saying no." Who's that person?
Well, I'll tell you this: Peyton Manning, Tom, is now involved in this, and he is involved in a big time way, which gives me some hope that perhaps. These powers that be, and I mentioned Jimmy Haslam, and I don't mean to make it all about Jimmy Haslam, but it's all about Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam, Tom, in Houston is the same guy whose general manager passed on Carson Wentz when they had that pick in the draft, traded it to the Eagles, and then smugly proclaimed he's terrible and he can't play. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a hard guy to please. He's a great young quarterback. That's what Carson Wentz is. And then you have... this last draft, they got a chance to get Deshaun Watson. Oh, no. They know so much. They don't need Deshaun Watson. They know so much. The Browns are a complete mess. They are a poopy diaper. That's what the Browns are. And that's what they've turned Tennessee football into, a poopy diaper. And he needs to cede to Peyton Manning and let Peyton Manning go out and get this football coach off Peyton Manning's reputation, off the fact that Peyton Manning is going to be instrumental and involved in this. That needs to happen. And I am calling on other supporters of the University of Tennessee to let Jimmy Haslam know, as I am, that your services, while your money is appreciated, your brain power when it comes to our job is not needed. Your influence in terms of who the coach is not needed. You don't need to be involved in that selection. You've made enough of a mess of University of Tennessee football. Let somebody else do it. Put your ego down for the sake of the school and this community and let somebody else do it. And I know nobody else will tell you that, but I'm calling on big money people that are listening to me right now, and there are a bunch of them. You guys need to belly up to the bar, have the testicular fortitude to let that guy know, risking your place, just like I'm risking my place doing this. But there's strength in numbers. If he hears from enough people, maybe he'll go, you know what? They're calling me out. I need to let this thing go. Until then, it's going to be control, 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 control. And as long as he's controlling this, we're going to be stuck right here. We're going to be stuck right here. In this spot, until you people nut up and tell him that's enough. Because guess what? It's enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, listen, I agree with you. And, Jerry, I'd love you to speak on this. And like I said, man, I admire you so much. I mean, you were there ready to go that UCLA game, and life dealt a cruel hand. But you know what? To a degree, you couldn't control that injury. We can control this next step. That's within our control. And I say we, the University of Tennessee fan base. And but we got to have that person, whether it's Peyton, whoever, that takes the mantle and says, here's the way we're going to do it. It can't be 500 people saying 500 different things. One voice, and that's excellence.
Thank you, Tom. Good talking to you. Jerry, Peyton Manning's going to get more involved in this deal, and he needs to, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. To me, he's a competent voice. The nice thing about him, Tony, he's had so many years in the league.
Yep.
People don't realize there are a lot of guys in the league.
Yep.
Who are young, who are there, not necessarily by choice, but just that's where the work is. You know, that's what's available to them. So you have guys who have college experience that can bounce back and forth. But now they've got that good pro coaching experience. And, you know, they could easily bring that back to the collegiate level. And I just feel like guys like Peyton, they're in the know when it comes to that kind of a thing. And, you know, you're talking about assistant coaches,
yep,
coordinators, you know, maybe some falling out head coaches,
yep,
who would rather be offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator at University of Tennessee than be on the next NFL team that's about to get fired. Peyton knows all those people.
Yep.
So to me, he's a great resource at this time. And Tony, I'll give you another name too. You know, I talked about this guy. I'll give you another 10, 12 year coach. You could totally work the Peyton Manning angle, the Andrew Luck angle, the Charles Davis angle. Why is David Shaw's name not right at the top? He's peaked out at Stanford. There's nothing else that he can do. Nothing else. He'll never be better than Oregon. He'll never be better than USC. And as long as Coach Peterson is up here at University of Washington, he'll never be better than them. Somebody ought to get Peyton to go to talk to Andrew Luck and go, hey, man, talk to your coach and tell him you can go down there and coach for 10 to 12 years and end your coaching career at that great place. Because there's nothing more that he can do at Stanford. He's another one from a quality of person, and what he's done in that conference against USC, against Oregon, teams that are maybe just a tad bit better than him perennially. He's got that Lane Kiffin swag. He's got that swag that you can walk into those top-notch teams in your conference, and guess what? His teams will play with the attitude of that head coach. You have to start throwing his name out there as well. You got to get that guy out of Stanford, in my opinion.
You know what intrigues me about David Shaw? First of all, I think he's got pro aspirations, or he has, but he hasn't jumped at them. So it leads me to believe, Jerry, that you might be right, and that he definitely has reached that spot there where he needs a change. And everybody has that spot where you come to the end of the end of your journey, to use the Boys to Men song, because he's come to the end of the road. But they're still going to be pretty good this year. His teams are really tough, and there's only one really tough team in this league right now. Tough guy. I mean, tough guy, beat you up tough. And he is an interesting choice, Jerry. That is an interesting idea that you have. As it must be, is it Army night tonight? Military night, Eric, down there in Florida? Why are they wearing Army jerseys?
Oh, those aren't Army jerseys.
What
those are gator skin.
That's the ugliest damn thing I've ever
seen. It's the ugliest damn thing I've ever seen, but that is what that is.
Those are hideous.
They're trying to make them look
like Jerry, go to ESPN2 and look how damn ugly those things are as Florida and A&M are now underway. 865-200-5402 is our number.
Tony, it's their swamp uniform that they featured this week.
Yeah, well, congratulations, because they look like muck. Let's get our next caller.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
And let's welcome in our next caller. Hello. Welcome to the show. You're on the Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello.
Is this me?
That is you.
Hey, this is Swansboro Gary.
Hey, Gary from Swansboro. Welcome in, my man.
I want to tell you something, big man. You think your sausage is burnt. Mine's burnt so bad it looks like a little smoky.
Jerry, what do you make of the what do they call those mini sausages that you are they little smokies? What are those things? Those little bites?
Little smokies.
Yeah. I raise my cholesterol, that's what my grandmother used to call it. I raised my cholesterol 1 year by I discovered little smokies about 10 years into my marriage. And we used to have this little skillet. And I went to the doctor and he goes, "What are you doing?" And they gave me a blood test, and he goes, "What are you doing, man?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You've got – your cholesterol is like through the roof." And I said, "Oh, man." I said, "I don't know. I really haven't had any diet changes except that I'm eating these little Smokies like four times a week." And he goes, I wouldn't do that. So, Gary, I'll think of you because Butch Jones, I'm going to tell you something. He has burned more sausages in this town than a Hardee's breakfast. I mean, he's a sausage burner.
I'm gonna tell you what Butch Jones has done. And you're going to like this reference. It's just like when Hulk Hogan went from wearing the red and gold to the NWO black. It's a shot to the Johnson. You know what I mean?
No question.
I mean, he's destroying the tradition of just simple run the football, pass the football across the middle.
Yep.
I mean, John Kelly would win the Heisman Trophy at Alabama.
You know,
he's that good.
During that telecast today, they put up John Kelly's numbers with Saquon Barkley's numbers, and they're comparable in terms of his pass catching prowess. And it's a shame John Kelly, Jerry, doesn't play on a better football team, because he played on a better football team with a better offensive line. He would be at a ceremony in New York this year. I think that the caller's right. Jerry, your thoughts?
Yeah, he's easily a guy who, Tony, for cumulative yards, could reach 2,000 easy. You know, you saw what the kid did at Stanford last year. The Reggie Bush types, where you have a lot of rushing yards, a lot of catches out the backfield. You can see a guy like him rushing for about 1,500, but also putting up about 500 through the air, ending up with close to 2,000 yards total for the season. It could easily happen with him.
Anything else from our caller?
Yeah, man, I want to just tell you I appreciate your show.
Yes.
We've had a horrible day, Tony.
Horrible.
Not only did Tennessee lose, I've been on vacation. So So I come back from the beach. My car breaks down.
Oh, God.
Luckily, a buddy of mine's following me. Mm. We get a U-Haul trailer. We've traveled this thing all the way from Swansboro, North Carolina, which is about 600 miles from home. And we've listened to your show, and we absolutely love it. My daughters are listening, laughing. You're our hero.
So, oh, no. All this coarse humor, and your daughters are listening. How old are your daughters?
Listen, my daughters have listened to your show for 4 hours.
I'm
they're 16 and 14, almost 14.
Oh, well, they're close. I'm so sorry about that. Titans Bill introduced a real element into this thing that didn't need to be, you know?
Yeah, but Titan Bill, he gets those enhancers or two all the time, so... you gotta love. Real quick, say hi to Rachel and Madison.
Rachel and Madison, I'm so sorry that you guys have had a rough day, and but just know this. You're going to have a story to tell one day. It's going to be a great story about the day that Butch burned Daddy Sausage.
You're the man, Tony. You're the man.
Thank you, guys.
They're going to drive off the road.
Thank you, guys. Good talking to you. Jerry Wright, they'll talk about the time that Butch burned Daddy Sausages.
Well, man, you just reminded me. I went in there while you were talking there and took three of my omega-3 tablets, Tony. 1,000 milligrams.
Omega-3. And then what else are you using? You're using a Super Brain Force right now?
Brain Force. I'm on that mineral fusion. Caveman.
What's it called?
Caveman and Mineral Fusion.
Mineral Fusion and Caveman.
Brain Force.
I came around the corner last night. I ran out of undies in Philly. And so I went to... Well, I did, and I forgot to pack them, basically, and so I had to go get some, you know, on the fly. And so I went to TJ Maxx and went the cheap route, and I found some briefs instead of boxers, you know, briefs. And I was going to the shower last night, and. And when I was walking through, I forgot something. I went out to grab my phone because I wanted to listen to it. And so I went around the corner, and my wife saw me.
You didn't forget anything.
My wife saw me in those underwear, and she goes, "Oh, my gosh." She said, "You look like a bizarro caveman," because I'm like all hairy, you know. You just reminded me, calling me a caveman. And by the way, there's somebody on Periscope, Jerry. You'll have to go back and watch it. Wrote something on here about how, and this is what Butch Jones football has devolved us into, about how there's something with let's go to the phones, get our next caller in. You got a score update? Go ahead, Eric.
First play from scrimmage, Alabama's Damian Harris, 75-yard touchdown run. First play from scrimmage, 7-0 already.
I'm here to tell you guys, Alabama's... Yeah. Alabama is fixing to get two coaches in a row fired this week with Bulema and next week with Tennessee. That's what's about to happen. You believe me, Tony?
They're going to start eliminating people. Yeah.
Just boom, boom.
They're playing eliminate. Let's get our next.
They're kneecapping people.
Let's get our. Well,
I hope it's
an Italian
I hope
slur.
It's, I hope
an Italian
it's fun
slur on your part. Let's get our next call in. Jerry, you believe he just used the term kneecap in my presence?
The term what?
Travis Helton said Bama just took a 7-0 lead on Butch Jones. They're up 7-0 in our game. Let's get our next call in.
Tony.
Yes.
You guys were talking to X's and O's earlier. Let me tell you something you and I talked about. Teams scheming us, also making alterations during the course of a game. So one of the things you and I talked about was base defense. We normally play a 4-3, right? So we're going to have Sapp out there. We're going to have Daniel Batuli and Colton Jumper. And I think when you have those three guys out there, when in terms of defending the run, that's a good group. That's a good group when those guys are all out there together. Go back and watch the beginning of the Georgia game. Beginning of the Georgia game, turning for the first couple quarters, we defended the run very well. But then watch what Georgia does. Georgia knows that, hey, if I'm playing the game in 21 personnel, which is two backs and a tight end, that's just a standard personnel grouping, or 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, a run dominant personnel, Tennessee is going to have their 4-3 out there, right? They got the three best linebackers. So what do? They go 11 personnel. What do we do when teams face us 11 personnel? We go nickel. When we go nickel, who comes out the game, Tony?
Batuli.
Tell me.
Batuli. And they did it. And they did it today. They said, you know what? We've seen enough of having Batuli in the game. We're just going to go to 11 personnel. And these mental midgets on the other sideline are going to do what they've done in every game because that's the rule. Somebody on Twitter said to me, why does Petulli keep coming out of this game? And the answer is because the opponent is an 11 personnel, and apparently Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, it's a law. It's a rule. So stupid. Let's go to the phones.
You have got if I'm Butch Jones up. I think Shoop from a philosophical standpoint,
yes,
he has improved. But if I'm Butch Jones, I'm looking at that guy going, hey, this next game, you have to teach him that other linebacker spot, and you have to have Colton Jumper with Terry out there.
Jerry, he's fired
at all times.
Jerry, he's fired. It's a little late. Go ahead, Eric.
Let me ask this question, and I'm not going to mention any names, but can you really afford to have your middle linebacker have two tackles all day long?
Well, that's the point. He's not in the game, much of the game.
No, I'm talking about Colton Jumper.
No, Colton Jumper. Again, that's not Jumper's fault either, because Petulli was in there in certain sets in the middle, if you notice. But, again, I'm back to this. These guys think they're playing chess,
okay,
and they're not even playing checkers. I got to get a call in. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, welcome in. Appreciate you holding.
Yeah, I don't think that what you saw from the offense, Larry Scott's fault. He's been given a broken playbook. If somebody gave you a broken microphone and said do a radio show, it wouldn't work. And that's where Larry Scott is. I'm kind of numb to Tennessee football at this point. I don't even really want to watch it, but I keep doing it, and I just stare and watch them lose. That's all that happens.
You know, today's game, it's a good point about Larry Scott because people are getting really angry with him, and I'm come to the conclusion that Butch Jones is Butch Jones, and Butch gonna be Butch. Butch Jones, Larry Scott's just the latest. Now, he doesn't have a great feel for what he's doing. Don't get me wrong. He just doesn't. But that call today on the goal line when they got down there and around the 10-yard line and they ran that stupid throw from Josh Smith back to Kelly. Why in the hell aren't you running Kelly on back in the old days, and I never thought I'd say this, but give me a quarterback under center and run a toss sweep left there, and it's called touchdown, John Kelly.
Yeah, it's basic football, man. And that's what we have to get back to, is just back to the basics. A coach who can just get them back to putting them in an eye, run the football.
Yeah. I never thought I'd want – all this reinventing – if the next guy gets up there and talks about reinventing the damn game or talks in clichés – somebody told me on my – and I don't know if they were trying to piss me off yesterday – told me they wanted P.J. Fleck. I want P.J.
No.
Fleck like I want poison ivy smeared all over my genitalia. And I'm highly allergic to P.J. Fleck and his row your boat nonsense and a slogan every 10 seconds. I would like to take P.J. Fleck. I mean, let me tell you, I get violent thinking about P.J. Fleck coaching here.
Well, and if we leave it up to the Haslams, that's exactly the kind of crap we'll have.
Oh, no, the Haslams are going to have you. They're going to have a guy you have to Google. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Because the word's out here. Those people need to get out of the way. Because the word is out in that coaching profession that that's why this job is so hard to fill. They're the reason. I mean, I hate to say that. You got to quit meddling. And if you're going to quit meddling, that's when you get a man for your head coach. A man in your head coaching position.
Well, and it's funny. He said that this was the best bye week we've had in forever. The best bye week you've had in a long time is one where your offensive guard gets his face kicked in by a defensive end's cleats. No, I'm not buying that.
Thank you. Good call. Yeah, it's a shame for Butch because it could have been so much more, but it's not to be. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402 on your Garza Law fifth quarter. Fan reaction, our next caller, hello and welcome in.
Tony, this is Tom from Houston, part two. But one funny thing, and I'll get off this mess on.
I
bet the Vol Colonel a cigar of his choice, and I promised him I would award him that cigar on one of your offsite things at the wherever the remote you guys do. So at least losing today, I'll get to come in and hopefully see you and present the Vol Colonel with a stogie.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you. They just showed these women during a cutout. Alex, they looked uglier in our offense today of that Florida game. Did you see that?
Well, I won't say anything
and
about
it. And what were they wearing?
I won't say anything about the looks, but I'd say they'll probably score about as many points as we did.
Jerry, did you see them?